Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The preambulatory NFL person, the godmother of quality footwear. You found the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back. 9:03 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, awaiting the arrival of Ryan Presley, the Astros closer, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Veritex Bank sponsoring. He and Veritex Bank getting together to raise money for financial literacy, okay? And this is something that people really, I mean, you could really help yourself if you do know something about finances and how to handle your money. That is it's great for young people to learn, especially young athletes to learn, especially maybe Zion Williamson can join this. That would be, you know, maybe he could get in. Don't you think?
He can't. He can, probably.
Why can't he?
Right. A lot of people need it.
No. A lot of, he could join Junior Achievement of Southeast Texas and learn how not to spend $107,000 a month on.
Will Zion be in the league in 5 years?
Yeah.
I mean, injuries. Yeah. His weight issue is probably always going to be a problem for him.
Yeah. I mean, how long was Pig Miller in the league?
Well, but Pig Miller wasn't making what?
Yeah, I know, but, well, I don't know how much he's going to make, but he's going to be in the league still. I mean, people will pay Zion Williamson, too.
He's got a new contract. He's guaranteed a new contract.
Yeah, right. So,
well, at some point, does he want to keep playing?
Well, I mean, he's going to need it the way he's spending money.
Yeah, that's true. He's got a lot of money, though.
Yeah.
The contracts are getting so high up there that it's going to be harder to go broke.
He needs Junior Achievement of Southeast Texas is what he needs.
He does.
Okay?
He does. Maybe
he needs to join and stamp out financial illiteracy, because he is illiterate financially if he's sending $107,000 a month to that sex worker.
Oh, she said she's also a rapper. No one mentions her music. That was one that I was, when you were doing the aqueduct plumbing, I was on a thread where she said, oh, I see y'all just put porn star all the time now. You don't mention my music. And everyone's like, they're posting screenshots of, maybe this is why. Oh, yeah, it's that banger, but let's make sure y'all got the new Mariah Mills. Like, I couldn't. Oh my gosh.
That's so
I wish
funny.
I could just watch ball. Not have to deal with all this.
Would the NBA be as entertaining without Mariah Mills? No.
I think so.
You think?
Yeah. I don't think Adam Silver really imagined a league that's run by Mariah Mills right now during the finals. What are more people talking about? Jokic's incredible performance of Mariah Mills. I want you to answer this seriously.
Or Ja.
In order, Jokic's incredible run, Mariah Mills, or Ja Morant? In order, what are people talking about? Mills first.
Yeah.
It's the NBA Finals with one of the most incredible runs by Nikola Jokic, and Mariah Mills is center stage. Who is she? Well, is she a player's wife? No, she's not.
She's a sex
worker. Well, what is she? She does and raps. Mention her music, too. She's a rapper / porn star, or porn star / rapper / OnlyFans person. And she's with the player who doesn't play.
Yeah.
And she's mad because
And she gives the reasons why he doesn't play.
Yes, she does.
Because he's busy. Some of the stuff that she describes.
And Adam Silver's like, I cannot believe I didn't want to say anything about Ja Morant because I'd distract from the finals. Adam Silver actually said, you know, I don't want to mention the I don't want to distract from the finals, so I'm not going to give Ja's punishment. At this stage, you would have rather had Ja Morant's punishment center stage than Mariah Mills versus Zion Williamson. I mean, are you kidding me? Ja Morant's punishment would have been much better for the league discussion than Mariah Mills versus absentee. I mean, she's just getting free shots at him.
Oh, no. She's
it's like he's the guy on the ground. You know what? You ever play dodgeball or bombardment or dodgeball where the one kid's literally on the ground and he's been hitting, he's out, but he can't say anything. And people are just peppering him, just continuing to pepper him. And you're just waiting for the – and you know the coach is kind of a sadist, so he's just letting it happen instead of blowing the whistle.
It's fine.
Bang, 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 bang. That's that's Zion on the ground, and she's just throwing dodgeballs at him. Bang, 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 bang. But, you know, you wouldn't want to mention Ja Morant's punishment because that could detract from the finals.
Yeah.
You know what's gotten more attention? Shannon Sharp leaving Skip Bayless and Mariah Mills are things that have gotten more attention than the finals. It was Shannon Sharp was mentioned on Charles Barkley's pregame stuff of a finals event. Charles Barkley's mentioning, I wish I could, you know, get paid a bunch of money to leave a show.
Hey, TNT, you going to pay me? I'll leave. I'll leave right now. Yep, I will leave you. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you on a great weekend. Archangel wins. No, Djokovic wins the French Open. Iga Swiatek wins again. She's
incredible.
She's a good player.
I've never heard of her, but she really,
but really good.
Iga's killing the game right now.
I didn't watch not one hit. I did see some highlights of the Djokovic, which was nice. That was great. Better player, Djokovic or Jokic?
Djokovic. Yeah, Djokovic is Jokic with 10 more years under his belt.
Yeah, and a lot more titles.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
to be fair, it's easier to win. If you're really good at basketball, it's still really hard to win a title. If you're really good at golf, you're going to win slam titles. I mean, not golf, but tennis.
Someone who knows something about tennis, is Djokovic the best ever? I said someone who knows something about tennis.
No, I've watched tennis since I was.
You know about frisbee.
I've watched tennis since I was 9 years old. Is when I first watched my first.
Yeah,
tennis
I saw. Athlete. Yeah, me too. I used to watch McEnroe
I played tennis on video games before.
Okay.
I remember watching, did you watch Boris Becker?
Yes.
When he was playing Wimbledon today, and after Roger Clemens had 20 strikeouts against the Mariners. I remember that happening at the same time.
What?
Did you know Linda was allergic to grass?
Did you watch Jimmy Connors and
Chris
Evert?
Did you know Linda was allergic to grass?
No, but I knew Steve Elkington was.
Did you know Yannick Noah, his mom was the same lady from the Jeffersons?
The wife?
Oh, no, wait, that's Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, no.
See, I did that on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Yannick Noah, let me see. Did you know about...
Joachim Noah was his kid? Did you know that?
Yep.
Okay.
I did know that. Did you know that Serena was actually not as good as Venus when she was younger than Venus?
Yeah, I saw the movie.
Like, Venus was the first sister to come on the scene. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw the movie.
Okay.
King Richard, I saw it.
So I think I've proved my worth here.
Okay. So is Djokovic the best ever?
Yes.
He is?
Yes.
Better than Rod Laver.
He wins on all surfaces. He wins on all surfaces.
He does win on all surfaces. He does.
Of course, to be fair, all of those guys have won on all surfaces, all the top three. The top tennis players of all time. Yeah, I don't know. We really do need to hear from somebody who's a serious tennis fan because this is what I think. I mentioned this in the first hour. I've never seen anyone that's less beloved than Djokovic, who's maybe the best in their sport. It's people were cheering for Ruud yesterday. They will cheer for Rafa. Now, Borg was kind of cool to the point that a lot of people loved McEnroe and loved Connors. Yeah. And love, but people really respect. Like, there was a lot of people that loved. I was a Borg guy.
I was a Borg guy growing up. Yeah, cool hair.
But you know what? It's just different with Djokovic. It's like people, and for some people, I'll know they'll just try to bring up this. Is how I know you're casual. If you just bring up his vaccination, the fact is Djokovic has never had the same love as those other two guys because everyone was in the middle of this love affair of these two guys having this great. It's kind of like when Jordan popped. Magic and Bird were in the middle of this great, Imagine this. Magic and Bird, the Lakers and Celtics, were in the middle of this great rivalry going on. And then Jordan out of nowhere popped up. Now, but his team didn't start winning until 90.
No.
But Jordan played this amazing brand of basketball. Imagine Jordan and the Bulls started winning, and it kind of ruined the ability to have, you know, to have, I mean, the Pistons kind of jumped in there too, but it ruined that ability to have that great rivalry. That's what happened.
Well, they got older, though. I mean, by the time, listen, the Pistons, in 90, you know, Magic and the Lakers played, 91, they played the Bulls in the finals, and it was over. Magic was old then. I mean, he was older then.
Yeah, he was older. And, well, but he still had a lot of basketball left in the tank. He just, that's after that was the year that he announced he had HIV.
Yeah.
But Magic was still playing really good basketball back then.
Yeah, he got him to the finals, but there was no match. They won the first game, and then the Bulls just
slapped them. Bulls had finally put together everything they needed to put together. But honestly, I mean, can you imagine that's what happened is people just loved Rafa or they loved Federer, and then this third guy came up, and he wasn't quite as lovable as the other guys, only he was really, really good. Really, really good. And the proof is in the pudding. He's got, you look at his record against the other two guys, you look at his ability to win on all surfaces. So I think that Djokovic is the best tennis player, and he's going to keep winning. It's not like he's just hanging on right now. He's going to keep winning. You look at the elite players in every sport, Jordan, beloved. LeBron is polarizing, but he's got people who will literally kill for him, beloved by a large section of basketball community. Tiger Woods, beloved.
Yep.
The only guy I could come up with, I did this earlier, the only guy that I could come up with that was truly one of the all-time greats in his sport, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No one really ever loved Kareem. No one ever, like, Kareem doesn't have the same, people didn't love Kareem even when he's still considered one of the greats.
Yeah. He left Milwaukee, so I imagine they didn't love him all that much. He did win him a title, but he left Milwaukee. And in L.A., Magic was the show. I mean, you know.
Tim Duncan?
Tim Duncan's another guy that was not beloved.
Yeah, Duncan is respected.
Yeah.
He's respected.
But Djokovic is even respected, is he?
Oh, yeah. He's high, 23 slam titles.
Well, I know, but people, I mean, he gets booed.
He gets booed by – the only way he gets booed is people who have a sting against him about his vaccination stuff. And yet professional athletes in America, they're still guys who play pro football, basketball, baseball who are never vaccinated.
Yeah, no, but for whatever reason –
he gets treated differently. But, I think it's just people would rather cheer for the other. They just don't love him, so they'd rather cheer for the underdogs. Maybe later in his career when he's not the very best, but he's trying to hang on and fight, people will cheer for him more. But he's great. Watching him, big serve, great return of service, is in phenomenal shape. I mean, hits winners, can rally, doesn't make a lot of unforced errors. And one of the things that I learned from watching that, Mary Carrillo talked about it, you don't beat him in tiebreakers. Unbeatable. When he has to lock down and really focus in, unbeatable.
Yep.
You can't beat him. But Tim Duncan is another one. Yeah, I think Tim Duncan is another, you know, one of the all-time greats who doesn't really get a whole lot of love from people. It's not that they dislike him. It's just like, Tim Duncan, fundamentally sound, does all the good things, won championships. It's hard to get excited about him.
Nope. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, well, you know who is beloved here is HRMP. We love HRMP. We've loved HRMP since they came on board. We didn't love our previous payroll company because they didn't grow with us. And if you've got a company that's growing, you hope that your company grows all the time, right? You want your company to grow. So hopefully it does. And HRMP is here for you to grow with you. So if the more that you do payroll-wise, the more employees that you have, the more that they have to do, the less that they should charge you. When we grew from 25 to 75 employees, the payroll company said, no, it's the same price. No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay, that's why we got rid of them. We were saying, no, when you buy in bulk, then you should get a better price. And if you've got a company that's big and is growing, then you are going to get a different price than somebody that's only got 15 employees. You've got 1,000 employees? No, you're not going to pay the same for your payroll. That just makes common sense. But some places don't customize it. At HRMP, they customize a plan perfect for your business. They do this every single time. So get that customized plan for you at HRMP. HRMP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRMP.net.
You're watching ESPN 97.5 with your ears.
High definition.
Let's get back to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. More importantly, let's get back to the guy who does all the actual heavy lifting on this show, RJ. Hang in there, brother. Everybody listening knows who's the real hero here. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's RJ and these two guys.
That's what it is. 713-780-3776. Waiting on Ryan Pressly to get here. He's the closer, so he's going to close the show. Okay? That's what he does. He's going to close out the show here. So, how about Greg Kessinger? Did you ever get to watch, you're too young, well, remember Don Kessinger?
I don't remember Don Kessinger.
You don't?
I know the name.
Santo Kessinger, Beckert Banks, the infield third to first.
Kessinger was, he was an Astro, right?
No, he was a...
Did he ever play for the Astros?
Oh, no, he ended up with the Astros, yeah. He ended up, I think, played a year here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he did because I think that's how I know his name.
He ended up as a player manager with the White Sox.
Remember when that used to actually be a thing?
It happened, actually, yeah. He was.
If there's one guy who'd be a player coach.
I think he was a six-time All-Star. He didn't hit much. But
No. Kessinger was never an Astro.
No, not an Astro. He ended up as White Sox with the White Sox, right?
St. Louis, Chicago, and the White. Two Chicago teams in St. Louis. That guy did not like to move around too
much.
No,
he was Midwestern. I think he was a six-time All-Star. Anyway, it was nice. Here's Greg Kessinger talking about his first major league hit.
Great. I had a coach tell me they all even out, the ones you hit hard and the ones you hit soft. I don't know if that's always true, but today it did. Just got a off-speed pitch kind of a little more up in the zone and tried to take a good swing on it, hit it straight down, but like I said, they all count the same.
All right, good. That's awfully nice. Greg Kessinger gets his first major league hit, and that's just awesome. It's great to see. I know it was a chopper, and they couldn't come up with it, but to him, it's going to be a BB. It's a BB.
Do you remember the first hit for George Springer? Because every day, the only thing we had to look forward to was George Springer particular time. And he had this little infield runner down third baseline, and it was nothing. But you know what? You'll take it.
That's
right. Take that first hit.
You know what? We'll take this. Ryan Pressly joining us here in studio on ESPN 97.5, representing Veritex Bank, Community Bank, because he's got a program going where we're trying to eliminate financial illiteracy. And he's putting his money where his mouth is. That's great stuff, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what better way to... to connect with Veritex Community Bank and the Junior Achievement to help spread youth awareness for money, positive money habits, and career readiness. So I'm just glad they reached out.
You know what? A lot of young guys that get some money, like, you know, all of a sudden they got some money, they need this. A lot of people need this program.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always nice to, you know, one wrong step and can ruin your credit for a long time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you can't get the house you want, the car you want, and with interest rates the way they are now, it could be a pain to get it back where you want it to be.
Are you throwing money around, like buying airplanes and stuff? And, you know, just
no. I try.
You're not,
doing
that?
No, I try not to. No.
Okay, good. Good for you. No, we like that. Good for you.
Yeah, financial. I mean, that's something that affects a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just understanding, of course, young people. You want young people to learn it as quickly as possible, but there's a lot of people who just need to understand what makes sense and how you. I never really thought about it until my kids got to be teenagers now, and I realized, boy, they are dumb. I mean, I can't believe how dumb my kids are about common sense stuff, real world
money.
Stuff.
They don't know
things but I guess at one point I was like that too, but we didn't have to know certain things.
No, we didn't.
We all were.
No. How did you team up with Veritex?
They reached out, and, you know, it's something that I, you know, want to spread the awareness to. I mean, just, you know, it's one of those things that we can eliminate a lot of these problems if we just talk about it. And, you know, if you can just communicate with, you know, your sons or your daughters or your cousins or whatever at a young age and get them on the right step, they're going to set themselves up for a really long time. And, you know, Veritex Community Bank is definitely going to help us be able to do that.
That's good stuff. I noticed you're wearing your – are you wearing your hunting hat today?
Yeah.
You like to hunt, don't you?
I do. I love it.
Yeah. Is that what you do in your – like today you could be – you couldn't hunt today because you had to come here.
Yeah, a little too hot.
Yeah, and it's a little – yeah, it's a little warm. What do you –
we got peak summer early.
What's the best hunting for you?
You know, I love to whitetail hunt. Really just to be out in the woods or in the field, man. I just love being out at the ranch and hanging out with my friends and my family. It's just – one of those things that kind of like reset your mind and get out there and be in nature. That's what I love to do.
Ask your feral hog question to Ryan.
Yeah, do you ever in a helicopter kill feral hogs?
Off air, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I don't think the Astros.
There's
would
a real
love
feral
that.
Hog problem though.
A very big one, and yeah. You know, I think a lot of farmers would appreciate if you just go ahead and take care of that.
Oh yeah,
yeah, 100%. No, absolutely.
They cause billions and billions of damage for farmers and crops and stuff like that. So if we can kind of help and have a little fun doing it too, it'd be great.
No. That would be cool. So we also know that you are a soccer fan because we saw you at Nick's place watching the World Cup.
Yes, we.
Well, you, yeah, I was. Well, I didn't bother him. He was at a table though. Yeah. I think you left after the first half. I'm pretty sure.
So I'm not a huge soccer fan. I mean, I'm just now kind of like watching it. And one of my buddies, I think we had an off day, or no, it was the off season.
Yeah, it was off season. Yeah,
that's everything's well, kind of blending
it's
in
usually
together.
The summer, but this year is winter.
It was winter, right?
Yeah. So I mean, we just decided to go out there and watch first half, and I had never really sat down and watched Team USA play, so I thought it would be a fun time to do that.
Yeah, no, it was which
match? England?
I think was it England?
I think so.
It might have been.
Yeah.
I think so. We tied. Remember how exciting that was, that tie? Remember?
Well, yeah. For U.S. it was.
No, it was great. Yeah.
That was a big deal against England.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, we haven't seen anything like this with the – we're so spoiled. Listen, and I know it wasn't great for you, and it wasn't great. Friday night wasn't great by any – what a game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just – I thought it was a lot of fun, and there were a lot of people that were just so mad on Twitter afterwards. I think fans, we're so used to you guys just getting through everything so easy. But all of these injuries, I mean, there is absolutely no way that this is going to be a smooth ride this year.
I mean, it never is. You know, you're playing baseball. It's a game of failure. You get out 70% of the time, you're considered a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Friday night, I take full responsibility for that L, that blown save, everything. It was a bad pitch, kind of just squeaked out of my hand a little bit, and you know, Naylor's such a good hitter. He capitalized on my mistake. And, you know, that's just baseball. And it's unfortunate because those are the games that you need to win. So whatever was said, I mean, I don't have social media, so I don't look at Twitter or anything like that. So whatever was said, it was probably warranted towards me. So,
well, Twitter,
you know, it is what it is.
You had a run, though, that was unbelievable through last season up until, you know, your first blown save this year. But it was just so money. So, you know, guess what? The best in the business, Mariano Rivera, blown saves happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens, you know, and you try to be perfect, but it's impossible to be perfect in this game. In the grand scheme of things, if you look at a long streak, you could be perfect, but I guarantee you Eric Gagne gave up some runs during that 62 straight save that he had or whatever it was. So, I mean, It's how you can get rid of it mentally and how you can grow from it, learn from it, and be a better player and honestly a better teammate. Just go out there and just try to be there for your teammates.
It's really interesting. You said something about, you know, you made a mistake on a pitch and he's a good hitter. And it's funny when you see a hitter miss a pitch that was his pitch, how mad they get when they realize you don't get a lot of those. Yep. And especially against certain pitchers, you don't get a lot of hitters' pitches. And so when you miss, when they foul it straight back and they realize that was my pitch and they get upset, especially against a great pitchers, it's interesting. One of the things that I find interesting about pretty much everyone on your entire staff, and this goes back to, you know, it goes back to your former pitching coach and your pitching coaches now. I don't know if Strom started. You guys don't give in. When you get a 3-0, you maybe have to be a little different with men on base and things, but there's most of the pitchers on your staff, if it's 3-1 and you're sitting there looking for a fastball, you may not get a fastball. You're not going to get your pitch that often if you're a hitter.
No, I mean, being in the big leagues is the reason why you're able to throw your off speed for strikes and locate your pitches whenever you want to. If you can't do that, you're not going to have success in the big league. So that's always kind of funny whenever you hear the younger guys like Gray and Corey Jolks that come up and they're rookies and they're like, dude, it's 3-0, and he threw a 12-6 curveball that just absolutely, I mean, it was an 84-mile-an-hour curveball that I had no chance on, and he threw it for a strike, and it's like.
Maton threw one to Bichette the other day,
yep.
A 3-0 slider, and I'm like perfectly placed, and Bichette was way out ahead of it, and he had the green light on, and I was like, man, that is ballsy to throw that 3-0. You got two on, or it's 3-1, 3-0. You got two on, Bichette's up, and he's like, no, I'm not going to let Bichette beat me. He's a good hitter.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, it works in your favor, too. You see a guy like that at the plate who's, I think, leading the league in hits, or maybe not leading the league, but the American League, and, you know, Phil's having an unbelievable year, and he's got all the confidence in all of his pitches. So be able to flip that ball in there 3-0, he's got the confidence to do that. So use that aggressiveness to his advantage, and Phil's done that this entire year, and it's been fun to watch, really.
Yeah, no, he's having a great year. And listen, those Naylor and Brennan and Ramirez, they're leading the, like, they're in the top five in hits in June. Or maybe not Ramirez, but Ramirez was on every single time this weekend, it seemed like. So, and that wasn't a bad pitch you threw him, was it?
I mean, it could have been better, obviously. But like I said, you know, that team doesn't give in. They're pretty scrappy.
Yeah.
Like Jose Ramirez, Naylor, those guys, you can't make mistakes to them. And if they do, they're gonna capitalize on it. And sometimes you can get away with it with a, like you said, you know, a ball fouled straight back over the middle part of the plate. But there are times where they're gonna hurt you, like they did with me. And to be honest with you, I didn't think he got it that good, and that ball just kept going.
It kept going.
I was like, no way. And I was like, man, that's not how we wanted to do this to start this series.
No, but that was a fun game. I know it, you guys didn't come out on the right side, but that was a fun game. Could we take a quick break? You're going to hang with us here in studio. We've got Ryan Pressly with us here. If you've got a question, you can ask us on Twitter at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, we're going to talk a little tequila.
Let's talk about Maestro Nobel. It's the best right now out there in the business. When it comes to finding a top-shelf tequila for an affordable price, you're not going to find one better than Maestro Nobel. And honestly, Maestro Nobel, their Cristalino, for example, three different tequilas, charcoal-filtered, aged, and the flavor profile is fantastic. If you're somebody who absolutely loves the Reposado, they've got you covered, and that is going to be another type of tequila, the silver, the smoked silver. There's a lot of different types of tequilas. They make 11 generation of tequila makers from Tequila, Mexico. And they even have a very high-end Añejo Extra Cristalino, which is in a really cool packaging. It's going to be more expensive. It's going to be up on your very top shelf, but it's a nice one to have available for those special times. So make sure that you put it in the rotation, Maestro Nobel.
We're ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, not the home of the Houston Texans. Not sure they even like us.
Rock and roll!
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here now is the outrageously tanned, dark meat, white guy, and his zany Caucasian sidekick. It's John and Lance.
Here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ryan Pressly with us in studio here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When you got traded for from Minnesota, I mean, you're from the Dallas area, right? You're up in Minnesota, and you've been there a while already. Did you think you were going to finish there? And what were your initial thoughts about coming back to Texas?
You know, you just not trying to stay in one place. I mean, you are, but you're just, you know, you're kind of at the mercy of wherever a team sends you. So being in Minnesota, you know, they gave me an opportunity to play in the big leagues, and you know, I developed so many good relationships up there, and the front office, and the coaching staff, and just the people around the stadium are just so nice, you know, the Minnesota nice thing.
Yeah.
And, we were actually in Boston, the team that drafted me when I was young, and they said, you're going back home to Texas. And I was like, what do you mean? I thought the Rangers traded for me or something. And then they said, no, you're going down to Houston. And I was so pumped because they had just won the World Series. They're a championship contending team. And who knew that the dynasty that we had started was going to be like this? And to be a part of it, man, I couldn't be more happy.
Yeah. You come in here and the huge part that you played. What about being on the world and the U.S. on Team USA? We're all looking at Jose Altuve gets hurt. We saw a few guys getting hurt. Huh. We're like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
but I mean, is it
I had a front row view of Hosey getting hurt, and my stomach absolutely just dropped. You know, seeing him, you know, hit the dirt and grabbing his thumb. You know, obviously, you know, Daniel Bard didn't mean to do that whatsoever. It's just one of those things. You know, it can happen in spring training. It can happen during the season. It can happen really whenever. But to see that happen was difficult. But the experience of playing for Team USA and in the WBC, that was Team USA versus Team Venezuela. It was probably one of the coolest atmospheres I've ever been a part of. And I've been in a lot of postseason games and a lot of World Series games. But that atmosphere with, you know, there wasn't a whole lot at stake. It was just more of, you could see the culture that Venezuela and the Caribbean, Dominican Republic and Cuba and everybody that brings to this sport is unbelievable. And if any player gets the opportunity to do it, they should. I know the injuries are, you know, starting to mount and stuff like that. Obviously, if you're comfortable enough to do it and if you're able to prepare your body in the off season to do it, I think you're going to have success. However, you know, you do run the risk of getting hurt, you know, because it's, you go from throwing in front of like 2,500 people, 3,500 people to throwing in front of 45,000.
Yeah.
So it gets sped up on you pretty quick.
I mean, it's just so, like, you see how much it means to Latin American countries. It is just massive. And they even said, they were interviewed and said, this would be mean more to me than a World Series win. And it puts into perspective, the same thing with the World Cup and soccer, right? And so that's why I have a hard time being too upset about something that means so much to so many players. And I would love to see it mean as much to the U.S. baseball fans as well. It is tricky, though, because you do have a long, long season.
Right.
And, you know, and you don't have a lot of time off.
Does it count that Japan beat you? Because it wasn't Scherzer's start. Now, I will say this. Merrill Kelly is pretty, he isn't even bad. He's having a good season. He's having a real nice season.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. He's doing a nice job. But it wasn't Verlander. It wasn't Scherzer. Do we need to get – are you going to try to convince starters to, you know, maybe get there because of the experience?
You know, I don't think I would try to convince anybody. If somebody were to ask me about, you know, the experience, I would love to tell them about it and say, if it's something that you would want to go do, absolutely go do it. We've always kind of talked about, I would like to see, you know, it happens so fast. So it would be cool to see if they did it during the All-Star break, make the All-Star break a little bit longer. And you could possibly do a world team versus the All-Star team, you know, like all the Latin players who is an All-Star Latin player is part of the world team, and then you have the American All-Stars, and that could be your World Cup, but it essentially wouldn't be all the – I mean, it's all one country.
Right.
You know, it's the world versus U.S. But, you know, we've always talked about that and stuff. But
that'd be incredible.
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, everybody – like, then you don't have – everybody's in shape. Maybe the injuries don't happen as frequent as you see now. But, you know,
could they ever do that as an All-Star game? Just eliminate and say, look – for the All, we're going to do something different for the All-Star game.
I mean, they do it for the futures, right?
Right. Like
you have the world versus the U.S. So, I mean, I don't see why they couldn't. It's still the All-Star game.
And you get AL and NL guys playing together. And yeah.
I mean, I just work here. So it's just something that we talk about in the bullpen.
Well, baseball has been, you know, baseball has been more aggressive at some of the changes. Baseball is famously slow for adapting and adjusting. And now it's very aggressive the last 3 years. You know that from starting with guys on second base now. Bases are bigger. Pitch clock, has pitch clock been an issue for you? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
So I'm going to choose my words carefully here. I like it, but I don't like it. I like it. Yeah, it speeds the game up. It kills a lot of dead time. But I also think this is why you're seeing a lot of injuries too.
You?
I mean, there's no escaping an inning. Like you see Framber Valdez walk off the mound, kind of reset himself and back in the day. And now, you know, growing up, you're taught to slow the game down as a pitcher. You're taught to never let the game speed up on you. Step off the mound, collect your thoughts, deliver a quality pitch. You can't do that anymore. It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out in the postseason, too. Game speeds up without the pitch clock in the postseason. Unbelievably fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it should be a universal 20 seconds. I think everybody would be happy. Gives the hitter time, gives pitcher time. But like I said, I just work here.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Pressly, brought to you by Veritex Community Bank, fighting financial illiteracy, actually. There's strikeouts for financial literacy. Every strikeout by Ryan Pressly, he'll donate 100, and so will Veritex Community Bank to the Junior Achievement of Southeast Texas, trying to make sure the kids are ready. As soon as they get some money, that they know what they're doing with it. That's great. That is great stuff. you've had 100 strikeout season. That'll be a lot of money if you get 100 strikeout season this year.
Yeah, well, we need to pick the pace up a little bit. if we're going to do that.
Yeah, well, just start striking them all out. Let's talk about the mindset of coming in to a game, a one-run game versus coming into a three-run game. Is there a different mindset for you when you come into a game like that?
No, there's no difference. The mindset is the same even if it was a 5-0, game. If you have a 5-run lead, it's the same mindset. You just want to go in, put a zero up, not mess around while you're out there, walk, hit, strike out, another walk. You know, you're trying to get in and off the field as fast as you can. Just put a zero up, close the game out. Let's not use any other arms. And unfortunately, on Friday night, that's the reason why our bullpen was pretty taxed towards the end of the series, is we didn't really have anybody left. You had Seth Martinez almost throw 5 innings out of the pen. So if I just go out there, put up a zero, we have a fresh bullpen, and it's one of those things. You just want to go out and put a zero up.
Yeah, no, stuff happens. But like with a starter, if he's got a 6-run lead, they start throw strikes. Don't walk anybody, but whatever. Mm-hmm. If you've got a 3-run lead, you don't think, hey, I want to throw strikes here and let him hit it and let's catch it.
Well, you're just trying to attack. You're just trying to put the hitter in defensive mode, swing mode. You just want to get 0-1, 0-2 as fast as you possibly can, and have him make some pretty poor quality swings, and success will be in your favor. So, you just want to go out there and make quality pitches.
Yeah. Okay, are you comfortable with throwing anything at any time?
Anything.
Let's talk about the catcher and you guys and how you work together with – if Yiner is back there or Maldonado is back there, Machete's back there. Is there a difference for you?
No, they're both extremely hardworking guys. Maldi is definitely mentoring – Diaz and Salazar, and that I think that's probably one of the best guys that could be mentored by.
What's so great about Maldonado?
Yeah, what is it?
Oh man, where do I start?
Yeah,
For instance, we'll be on the plane, and like I said, I think I've said this in a couple interviews before, but he's been that guy that literally the entire plane is dark, but you see one light on, and he's got a computer right here to his right. So we got a whole 3 seats right in the row, and the tray tables. He's got every single tray table down. He's got a computer on one side. He's got another laptop on this side. And he's got his notes right in front of you. And he's looking at your OPS. He's looking at what you do in this situation. In that situation, are you more aggressive with guys on second? And not just that, but he can read your swing when he's behind the plate. So we can have this entire scouting report, but then you get on the mound and he can change it like that in a snap of the fingers. And it's just
give us an example of when that's happened. Can you think of one?
Well, for instance, we were last game. We found, I'm not going to say it on air, but we found something with a certain player that we faced, and after we just
it was going on during the game,
Okay. And Maldi saw it. He saw some feet being moved in the box and some hitters kind of being a little bit more aggressive. So we were like, you know what, we're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to do this now. And there's just certain things that he can see that we can't. And the game evolves. The game is going to change throughout the game, right? So, you see one guy trying to hit the ball the other way. Well, then all of a sudden, he's going to try to pull it. Well, it's okay. We're going to switch it up right here. We're going to switch it up in this situation. So, there's so many things that he can see behind the plate that I can't see 410 feet away. Mm-hmm. So, he's just unbelievable behind the plate.
Because we know Dusty loves him, and that's always the position. We can look at batting stuff and his OPS and this, that, and the other. But when it comes to catchers, it's still kind of that great unknown where people can talk about pitch framing, how does he call the game. But really, it's the secret stuff that you just told us. Like, that's the real secret sauce of what makes a catcher so beloved by a manager and a pitching staff. How a guy, it doesn't matter what he's hitting, the team still wants him there. The hitting is way secondary to the other stuff he brings.
Pitching wins championships.
Right.
It's hard to win when you don't score. So, you go out there and you put up quality starts and you have a lockdown bullpen, you're going to have success in this league. And Maldi's a big, big part of that. And a lot of people, get on him for the hitting and all that stuff. But he's that guy that's like, I just want to help in any way possible. And he does. And it's unbelievable to have him back there because you have the confidence because he's put in the work to make that call of, okay, we want to go fastball away. Hey, we want to go change up here. when a guy is known for hitting changes, he's like, but he has the confidence in calling that because he has done the reports.
That's rare. Well, I mean, I can see why Verlander's already campaigning for him to come to the Mets right now.
Yeah, we're going to try to stop that.
Yeah. but people do talk. And it's so – that's all. Do you guys meet, the bullpen meet with him before every – or is that before the series you guys break down everything? But do you meet on a daily basis with him as well?
Yeah, I mean, he'll come up to you if you want to talk about some stuff or you can approach him. We usually go over the scouting reports with Bill Murphy and Josh Miller, our pitching coach. So we'll go over that with them, and then when we come into the game or stuff, we'll kind of go over a little bit more. And when I'm warming up, Murphy kind of gives me a scouting report of what to expect, and then – you know, whatever the little earpiece in my ear says, that's what we'll go with, unless I have the confidence or the grip of something that I really want to throw.
Yeah. What's the difference between Strami and the law firm of Murphy and Miller?
Not a whole lot.
No?
You know, Strami was kind of leader of the helm of that whole thing, but obviously, like, Murphy and Miller were his predecessors, right? So they all learned from him. They have their own little spin on everything, but obviously, they've done a great job. So,
what is the secret between, you know, there's got to be something there that, because you came from another team, so you'll have a good perspective. Everybody who comes in, whether it's Gerrit Cole, not as much Verlander, but you know, to an extent, Verlander, what he did with obviously Fromber, bullpen pitchers who come here and play their best. What is it about getting to a spin rate? Is it the grip? Is it, I see guys with their strikeout to walks get better. You see, maybe that's natural. Maybe guys just get better, but strikeout to walk gets better. Some of the home run numbers get better. Strikeouts per nine get better. That can't be an accident.
Well, you got to understand the Astros organization was kind of the tip of the spear for the analytics.
Right.
So when I first came over here, that was kind of like, in 2016 was like the first time I'd heard of anything about like spin rate. And they were like, dude, you have a really good spin rate in your curveball. I was like, cool, don't really care as long as I can throw it for a strike. Like, I don't care as long as I can throw this thing for a strike. If I can't do that, who cares about spin rate?
Right.
So then when I get traded over here, they show me all these things of like, this can make you a better pitcher. We're going to get rid of this pitch. We're going to do this. And it gives you the confidence. Once you see the results starting to kind of fall in place, it gives you the confidence to go do that. So the Astros are you got to understand, they're the tip of the spear of the analytics. And now all these teams are starting to kind of like fall in line. So They were like the forefront of it, so I think that's what opened up a lot of eyes.
What was a pitch that they asked you to get rid of? Obviously, they're looking at the data of how you perform with a certain pitch.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you.
Yep.
I mean, so you have, but you've got one of the sharpest, nastiest. When it's going, your breaking pitch is one of the very best. Did they do anything to change it? They said your spin rate was already really good. Any differences in terms of grip?
No grip, no changes, just throw it more.
Throw it more?
And just be able to throw it for a strike. And when I was with the Twins in spring training, I remember Garvin Alston, he was telling me, he's like, listen, he's like, you made the team. Before camp even started, he's like, you made the team. We're going to work on stuff now. We're going to work on being able to throw a curveball for a strike. And I remember in particular, we were playing the Blue Jays, and Russell Martin was up with the bases loaded, and it was a 3-2 count. I'm throwing a curveball right here. I'm going to see if I can throw this for a strike. I bounced it. I get taken out of the game. Paul Mahler was so mad at me. He's like, what are we doing? You know, he's like, relax. This is going to come in handy later on down the road. And sure as hell, we get traded here.
Ryan Pressly is with us here, brought to you by Veritex Community Bank on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big sponsor of ours. We love a Veritex Community Bank. Thank you for being our sponsor, guys. We really do appreciate it. When did you know? I mean, you were 11th round. You were drafted 354th overall. When did you know you were a big leaguer?
Well, I think.
When did you feel like I can do this?
Man. Question. I don't think I've ever been asked that. I mean, when I got Rule 5 by the Twins, that was, and I was having a really good camp. You know, I was like, man, I might be able to break with the team here. And then,
well, they had to bring you up to the big if you got Rule 5 by them, right?
So I still have to make the team out of camp.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, I pitched out of my mind. I think I gave up one run that spring. And we were actually in. At the Red Sox complex, and that's when Gardenhire told me, walking off the field, and he's like, go call your parents, you just made the club. And I remember walking by the Red Sox dugout, because that's how you have to get to the clubhouse, and, you know, all of my buddies were still over there, because I was with them last year, like, before I got there, and they're like, you made it? I was like, yeah, I made it. Mm-hmm. And their whole dugout started cheering. So everybody was like, what is going on? And so I called my parents, made the team, and it was one of the best feelings I've ever had.
Yeah, so when you got Rule 5, that's when you – well, how were you doing with the Red Sox before that?
They hadn't – so in 2011, they told me, you know, we think you can get to the big leagues a lot quicker if we just move you to the bullpen. I was a starter at the time, wasn't really cutting it. I think I had a 7 ERA. So it's one of those, like, we need to figure something else out. You know, we're going to be looking for another job. And our pitching coordinator came up to me and said, hey, you are a lot closer to the big leagues than you think you are. I'm like, okay, dude, I'm in high A with a 7. So get moved to the bullpen, and then all of a sudden my velocity starts spiking. I think I was like 95, 98, and then went to the Arizona Fall League, threw really well there. Rule 5 by the Twins, threw really well in spring training, and then here we are in the big league still.
Yeah, because when you're a starter, you got to hold some back, right? When you're a reliever, you just can go in there and fire.
Let it eat.
Yeah. That's great stuff. That is neat stuff. That's Ryan Pressly. I mean, he's one of the best in the business, and we got him here in Houston. That's great stuff. And Veritex Community Bank is behind him, and he's actually thrown his money where his mouth is, too, because he's given $100. They're giving $100 for every strikeout. 29 so far. You want to pick that up?
We need to.
Need to pick that up for the kids because it's going to junior achievement.
You know,
it'd
help a really
Southeast
long
Texas.
Extra inning game where you got to go 3 innings.
Let's not do that. let's not do that.
No, we don't want no part of that. If he brings you in the eighth, do you like with two outs in the eighth, or if he brings you in the eighth, do you like that?
Doesn't matter as long as we get a win.
That's it?
It really does not matter to me. You know, obviously, like, everybody loves pitching in that big moment, but if we can put a win on the board, that's all I care about.
You don't seem to – when you have the moments where people score runs on you, but you still get the save and all – you don't seem to be shaken. I've noticed that after a game, when they get the – you may shake your head like, we're out of this or whatever, in those moments. But it doesn't seem to stick – like, that kind of stuff doesn't stick with you, which kind of lends itself to what you just said, as long as we get the win.
Yeah.
If you're not hyper-focusing on yourself all the time and it's team success, maybe it's easier to keep yourself from getting in a negative headspace.
Yeah, you know, we won. You give up a run and you're all bent out of shape and upset. I think you're just kind of being a selfish player at that point. You know, who cares about your personal stats? As long as you get a win and we get back to the postseason and put another World Series on the board, I don't care that I gave up a run. We got the win.
We have so many questions. I mean, we got to break it now, but who's the funniest Astro?
Oh, my God. Funniest Astro?
That you've ever been associated with. Maybe they're not on the team anymore.
Oh, man. Hosey's pretty funny. Altuve. Maldi's pretty funny. You know, I didn't realize how much trash talk Maldi does behind the plate.
Does he really?
After the game in Toronto, George Springer was out there talking with Mike Brantley, and they were talking about it. And I was like, wait, he really does? And he's like, oh. And then sure, Maldi comes walking out, and he's already talking trash to George. So Maldi's pretty good.
Oh, I think they give it back to him about his hitting, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Hey, we appreciate you being here. We got to break it. We got to cut it off. Paul Gallant is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Veritex Community Bank, thank you so much for sponsoring our studio, and thank you for sponsoring Ryan Pressly. All going to Junior Achievement of Southeast Texas. $100 for every strikeout for Ryan Pressly this season. Man, continued success. You've been great, and we really appreciate it. Let's go get another title.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, Ryan Pressly right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, how about your patio?
Let's talk about Texas Custom Patio. I've watched many a game out there on my patio, watched World Series matchups, and I've been spending a lot more time on the patio now. Even in that heat from yesterday. Yesterday was burgers and hot dogs. The game before that, the day before that was, we did skirt steak. I did steaks. I mean, it is amazing having my own grill out there because this time I've got a smoker out there, but I've also got the grill that's built in to the kitchen. And the kitchen is just a great new piece of the patio. But that's something you can have built at the very beginning. I had it retrofit, but you can get a brand new patio from TexasCustomPatios.com. Big screen TV, sound system. It's a great way to enjoy your sporting events out there. Have special moments with friends, with family members. Let the kids go out there and watch games. Make pizza out on your ovens. You conceive of it, they can do it for you. TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to 97.5, 92.5 ESPN. I'm Dancing Dave. Stick a fork in me because we're done. Dancing Diana will be in the back half of this sound set, and she'll be taking it off like a prom dress, but not before 20 minutes of nonstop power hits. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Oh, that's so good.